Heavenly Father, I just pray that this word this morning will be the right word in the right season. And I pray that you will help me to speak it this morning. Your word is how you've made yourself known to us. The word that tells us of your Son, who gave his life in our place, who offers forgiveness for our rejection of you, and everlasting life to all who will believe in his name. As we hear from your word this morning, and as we reflect on what it will mean in our lives, may you use this to grow us and to bear fruit in us, that we might be able to go out and share it with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have just a little break from 1 Samuel this week. I decided that on Friday afternoon. But if you do want to follow along in your Bibles, reading this morning from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. On Friday afternoon, we had the funeral for Brian Burt. Brian is a wonderful man of God, a faithful man, who was taken from us very suddenly and unexpectedly with his bike accident. And it was as we were having afternoon tea following the funeral, we got a message. We'd been praying for Pete, who'd been taken into hospital that morning, and the message came through that they were taking him off of life support. And he ended up going on for a couple of days, but as we know, passed on this morning. As we got that message about Pete, I felt a lot of different things. But one of the things that really just came home to me is, I'm not fine. I thought I was fine, but I'm not fine. I don't know about you, I'm feeling a bit tired of it. I'm feeling a bit done with it. Pete, Brian, Harry only a few months ago. I mean, two people in a church of 100 people with motor neuron disease. Antonio at the footy club. I know not everyone has been dealing with that, but some of you have. Little Ash Leckle. And although they're still with us, you know, wonderful servants of Christ who are slowly being taken from us with dementia and with Huntington's disease. It's been a bit of a Job season, hasn't it? And as I said, I was just feeling tired of it. And we know, don't we? We're not a prosperity gospel church. We know that following Jesus, it doesn't mean that we're going to live forever in this life. It doesn't mean that life will be easy. And yet sometimes a hard season like this will still hit you and hit you hard. And some of you, you know, might not be feeling all as much. Some of you might not have known some of the people as much. But I know some of you are. And there are people out, you know, that I'm talking to in the church, and you're reeling like a boxer in the 10th round, taking punch after punch. And I know that there's some of you that have found that your faith has taken a few bruises in that time as well. When we have lots of hard times coming together, that little treacherous whisper becomes harder to push away. Maybe God isn't there. Or maybe God isn't good. Or maybe we're all doing something wrong. And maybe if we'd just done this and just done that. I mentioned Job before, mentioning that it felt like a bit of a Job season. When I was younger, I read the book of Job and I really didn't like it. Job was such a whinger. Just, you know, get on with it. Now that I have life experience, the book of Job, I think, means a lot more to me. I relate a lot more to Job. His struggle was really put ours into perspective in a lot of ways. He faced all of the hardness in life. And yet when people told him, just be done with it, curse God and die, he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One of the things I wanted just to invite us to do this morning, maybe some of you are feeling the same way, maybe you're not, but one of the things I find beautiful about so much of the Psalms is that people tell God exactly what they're feeling. Even when that's anger, even when it's confusion, even when we're hurting. That might not be you. Maybe you want to bring God thanksgiving and happiness today, and that's fine too. There's plenty of that in the Psalms and trust in God. But I'm going to stop talking just for a minute and give us all a chance to just really give to God what we're feeling. And if you don't quite know how to tell God what you're feeling, that's okay too. As Romans 8 has reminded us, the Spirit will help with what we can't put into words. Know that God invites you to do that as often as you need to. And we probably need it more than we realize. Like I said, we often think we're fine until we realize we're not. And, you know, although we don't go out and curse God, He does invite us to be completely honest with what we're feeling and share that with Him. I just want to share with everyone three thoughts this morning on, you know, God's goodness for us, even in the midst of difficult seasons and Job seasons. The first thing I'd like to encourage us with is that our pain is not meaningless. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now that's a precious verse, but it doesn't mean what we sometimes might take it to mean at first reading, that God will bring only good things to those who love him. We don't see that witness throughout the Bible. But what we do see is that any time we face something hard, God uses it. It means something. I think of Joseph, who was sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers and imprisoned there falsely, you know, under false accusations. And after the whole story played out, which I won't recount the whole thing now, I think it's one story we should know well. But after the time of famine has come and his brothers come to Egypt looking for food and they're reunited with Joseph, he tells them, "You meant this for evil, but God has used it for good." When Romans tells us God is working through all things for the good of those who love him, that's what it's saying. Even the bad things that will happen to us, God's working through that for the good of his people, for our good and for the good of others. I mean, I think of in the New Testament, Stephen, the first of Jesus' followers to be martyred for being a follower of Jesus. And how did that work out for Stephen's good? Well, I mean, I doubt he would have complained at the moment that he saw Jesus face to face. But the resulting thing that also happened was that the church that had been in Jerusalem fled from Jerusalem as a result of that persecution that was arising, and wherever they went, they took the good news of Jesus with them, and people were saved and given eternal life because Stephen died. So God will work all things for the good of those who love him. We don't just take it as an individual thing, but that God can be working through what's happening in us even broader and even bigger than we will ever know. And the other thing that God can work in us in hard times that gives meaning to the hard times that we go through is that God is our comfort. 2 Corinthians talks about God being the God of all comfort, and he is a comfort to us so that we can go and be a comfort to others. And the stuff that is hurting in us now is a blessing that we can share with somebody else later. God in his goodness, when he breaks us down, he heals us more whole than we were beforehand, more able to help others and share with others. And although all of that doesn't make our pain easy, isn't it good to know that it's not just random? It's not just happenstance. It's not just the world sucks. But that God will work through it for the good of those who love him. The second thing I wanted to bring out for us is that Jesus shares our pain. Now, I don't imagine that, Jesus, God the Father, before Jesus came as human, were, completely reserved from us and had no, God has incredible empathy for his children. But what Jesus has done for us was a step beyond empathy, that he entered into our pain. He entered into a world that is broken. He faced loss. The loss of his father, Joseph. the loss of his friend Lazarus. And yes, he brought Lazarus back. But we see his grief there at the graveside as he sees firsthand the effect of grief on all of those around him. We do not have a high priest who is unable to share with us in our weaknesses. But we have Jesus who knows everything that we've gone through, who has taken every punch that we have taken and some that we haven't. Because the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death and the wrath of God. But although we might taste death only to see life everlasting afterwards, we won't face that wrath of God because Jesus has borne it in our place. And that's one punch we'll never have to take. One blow that we will never face. We serve a God who cares very deeply about his people. And that doesn't mean that he spares us from hard things, much as we might like him to. But we can also be certain that he doesn't let us go through them callously, and he doesn't make us go through them alone. He is with us to the very end of the age. And he is the comforter, the God of all comfort. And as Michelle said for us this morning, he's given us the Spirit, who is our comforter and our counselor, and is there with us through all that we face. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. That is the God we serve. That is the goodness of our God. And when we're tempted to think that maybe he's not so good in light of the things that we're facing, we remember that he's with us every step of the way. And he's faced everything that we've faced and more. And my last... just as another thing of God's concern and care for us. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? There's a song we used to sing here when I was a kid that took that line. Every tear you cry is precious in his eyes. The last thing I want to share this morning is that our pain is not hopeless. It is not without a hope. That passage that I read out for us, it starts off with, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And before we might be tempted to think that Paul is diminishing our sufferings, we should remember that Paul knew a thing or two about suffering and loss, and being beaten and imprisoned in so many places for the sake of the gospel, of which he was a servant. But why does he lump those two together, our present sufferings and the glory that will be revealed in us? Because when he suffers, it reminds him of what he has to look forward to. The part in us that hurts when we lose someone, the part in us that hurts at the brokenness of this world, is the part in us that is yearning for when all things are made new, when things are made right. That's what all that language in that passage about the creation groaning, waiting for something better and struggling and seeking for it. And I've been reading my kids a book recently. It's a Christian book, and there's this, you know, the main character, Jana Rigaby. He's, it's a fantasy book. There are dragons and things. And there's a day when the dragons, every year where the dragons come and they sing. And Jana describes the song as a homesickness for a place that he's never known and isn't even really sure if it exists. A homesickness despite the fact that he's right there in the middle of the only home that he has ever known. C.S. Lewis also used that picture of that yearning for a home that we haven't known, that picture of what God does in us. Through things of beauty that lift our eyes to heaven, but also through pain. That makes us love this broken world a little bit less. Not the people in it. We shouldn't love the people in it any less. But we become a bit less attached to this world full of pain and lifting our eyes to the world that he has promised us. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. In this hope we were saved. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, that reminder of that God's love for us poured out in the most powerful way that love has been shown through all of the history of this world. Who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So just in putting a bow on that then, I suppose, we know that Brian and Pete and Harry and Ash are with God. We know that they're more alive than they've ever been. And we know that that's our hope for ourselves as well. That doesn't mean it won't hurt. Lean on one another. Help to carry one another's burdens. Lean on God and cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And with the knowledge that he is with us and has entered into our pain and that he's bringing something beautiful from it, let's keep going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we can never thank you enough for the incredible, astounding, unending thing that is your love. That you would love us who are so unworthy, who turned away from you and rejected you, our Creator. We who could be counted among the numbers that called out, "Crucify him." But you came and entered into our pain and our hardship. to bring us a hope of a world where there is no mourning or sickness or crying or pain. And every pain that we face is a reminder of what you, Jesus, have rescued us from in your incredible love. And may we see them that way as we lift our eyes to the great things that you have in store for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.